From cotton gins and grain elevators to factories and skyscrapers and grasslands to forests, there's only one host and one show covering it all. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio on the high ground of Texas, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day: on school shootings or other violence at schools, can you help those who refuse to help themselves? I bet you don't realize that Texas has done more than almost any state to allow schools to be in a position to defend against mass violence, but it's school districts and faculty who have refused to act. Yes, this is true, and we're going to talk more about that big subject. Our Lone Star story of the day, of course, sponsored by Allied Compliant Services. We've got border news and a little political news, other things in the stack. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. You can get a podcast, a recording of today's show, and long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Let's head to the Rio Grande Valley, where you had the three very big Democrat primary elections for newly drawn congressional districts. You got the 28th, the 15th, and the 34th congressional districts of Texas. Now, we spoke a lot about this, the big one with between Henry Cuellar, longtime Republican Democrat, but pro-life and more of a classical, old-fashioned liberal Democrat, not the far left, not leftists. And he's not a leftist in that sense. It's the Texas 28, of course, being challenged again this year by the AOC squad-type, far-left revolutionary-backed Jessica Cisneros, an immigration lawyer. She's 29 years old. She's filing for a recount in that. It appears she's got that Cuellar had a 281-vote lead. The unofficial state figures said that Cuellar won by 177, but then there were some votes in San Antonio, and Cuellar garnered more votes in his district, again bringing it to 281 over the far leftist. She has said that she will seek a recount. Okay, and hopefully her far leftist friends aren't running the recounts. Texas 15th Congressional District in the Rio Grande Valley, Ruben Ramirez, I've spoken about, who narrowly lost this appears to have lost this Democrat primary. Ramirez is the Standard Valley pro-business, not radical left-wing, but still liberal, but not radical left-wing Democrat. Ruben Ramirez, an Army combat veteran and former teacher, run for the nomination to this district. He will file for a recount in the runoff race, and he certainly should. He announced that yesterday because his opponent, who is Michelle Vallejo, they say small business owner, she is another one of these extreme leftist, not just liberal, but leftist Democrats. She's only got a 23-vote lead over him, and that one certainly deserves a runoff, a recount. Now, we have a good Republican nominee who will run against whichever Democrat gets it in the 15th Congressional District, so we don't know. If maybe, I mean, you hate to say this for poor Ruben Ramirez, but for Republicans, it might be better to have this extreme leftist Michelle Vallejo in there. Monica de la Cruz, the GOP nominee, is a good candidate there. And then in the 34th Congressional District, you've got, that's the one Philemon Vela stepped down from, and now he went ahead and quit early to get on the lobbyist payroll, and so the governor's had to call a special congressional election there to just fill out a few months of the term. Gonzalez, who's the Democrat, I believe the Democrat winner of the primary, will not even bother to run in the special election. But Republican nominee Myra Flores is running in the special election. And that's good. If you win the special, it's going to give you a little lead. You'll be the incumbent there for a moment. And the Tea Party Express is already headed down to work. This is a district we make and pick up. Flores is a former migrant worker who immigrated from Tamaulipas, Mexico at the age of 6. She's a strong Republican, and she's the wife of a Border Patrol official. And she's all for border security, and Republicans are going to be pouring into that one. But I think it's interesting that the Democrat won't run for the special election in that race. and instead will just sit that out. So Representative Vicente Gonzalez, and he's a rep in another district. So he's an incumbent. It's all because of the redrawing, and then he moved to this district to run it. So he's not going to run there because then he'd be giving up. You can't be represent two districts at a time. So that leaves this special election open to, you know, whoever just files to put their name on the ballot, and Myra Flores. And I think that actually could work out well as a boost to the hopes of the GOP and Flores to pick up that seat in November. It's going to be very, very difficult. One other item I want to get to, well, there's a bunch in my general stack, but I've got to get to this out of Wichita Falls. Over the years, you've heard me criticize lots of school boards for lots of reasons. Wichita Falls ISD has been one of those school boards. And Lynn Walker at the Wichita Falls Times Record News, by the way, probably the best newspaper in the entire northwestern part of Texas, or North Texas, maybe the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American get a little more done, but Wichita Falls Times Record News does more good, solid local government reporting than almost anybody, and accurate and with a lot of details. The headline, Rucker, he's the school board president in Wichita Falls. WFISD school board not informed of district's financial mess. Wichita Falls ISD trustees were kept in the dark about the extent of the district's money troubles until a financial tsunami struck. By the way, all of this while they do another bond election, they'd fail before come back to build all new schools and consolidate and all this stuff. And part of the story says the district faces a huge budget deficit because 800 students vanished from the rolls since the pandemic began. That's right. Well, that's, and later you get Rucker saying the state's taking away money. No, your funding from the state, other than your local tax base, is based on average daily attendance. And that's why they were having to do a reduction in force. They're a smaller district by a significant amount now. And that's just the way it goes. But they go on and on about how they don't have the money. And we didn't know about all the money we lost. They don't give us what we need to know, he said, referring to the administration of Superintendent Mike Curt, who resigned in April, but still on the payroll. Isn't this weird? The rest of us, we lose our deal, and we literally cannot buy groceries. But if you work in these government jobs, you just get to stay on these big cushy payrolls. Now, think about that. Rucker can complain all he wants, but that's the school district's fault. That's the board's fault. If this guy was so bad, why do you keep him on the payroll even though he resigned? Why do you agree to that? And he goes on talking about how they weren't told everything and all this. And the people showed up meetings, won't know how come you don't know where the money's spent. I'll tell you why. Yeah, I'm sure the administration probably withheld some things from them, but that's the board's fault. A board is just a board of directors. Folks, don't give them a pass. This is what happens when you have a rubber stamp for the administration. A board that's a rubber stamp for the administration, which is the most common school board there is everywhere. These groups of people even blacklist and demean. You've seen it all over in your city councils, and you've seen it in Wichita Falls in your city council. You see it in your counties. You see it everywhere. When you get a board member who actually asks lots of questions, remember our good friends in Abilene who constantly were peppering administration in the city with questions. What do they do? What they do is they blacklist you and they demean you publicly and socially. The other board members do, and they don't want it because they don't understand that that's their job. Their job is to keep the hired help on their toes. But everybody in the civic cheerleader crowd, they tend to do the same thing, give the cold shoulder to these people, call them crazies and stuff. I'm sorry, you people in Wichita Falls, you elect these kind of boards. Almost all of you out there do elect these kind of boards. And so it always has to be an extreme tsunami, a terrible mess before you wake up and realize what's been going on. And that's your own fault because so many of you civic cheerleaders and everybody, you're made so uncomfortable by people who actually get elected and take their fiduciary responsibility seriously and ask the hard questions.
Keep that six shooter at your side. Front on Texas, we'll be right back after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed. Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
For decades, throughout West Texas, Tommy Klein Construction has been a leader in commercial construction. That experience is your assurance that Tommy Klein Construction can do your job right the first time and understands all the government codes with which you must comply. Tommy Klein Construction satisfies state HUB and federal woman-owned business requirements, too. Tommy Klein Construction, General Commercial Building Contractors. Reach them at 806-438-3384, 806-438-3384.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Welcome, Texans, and those who wish you were. It's time for more Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your king of the Texas commentariat, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I'm getting into the gun stuff and school districts in a moment. First of all, today in Texas history, in 1979, the 7th of June, Asa Earl Carter, part Indian, segregationist, politician, speechwriter, and novelist, died as a result of a fist fight in Abilene. Carter was born in Alabama in 1925. By the 50s, he was in Birmingham, where he hosted a radio show for... He's a big segregationist, and it was all that, you know, horrible, horrible racist stuff. One of two writers responsible for the words segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever, uttered by Governor George Wallace, which, by the way, is the new mantra of the left in this country. After an unsuccessful run against Wallace in the Democrat gubernatorial primary in 1970, Carter gave up politics, left Alabama, adopted the pseudonym Bedford Forrest Carter, and settled in Sweetwater, where he used the resources of the city-county library to write his work on his first novel, Gone to Texas. And it was a good novel, and made a film version, The Outlaw Josie Wales with Clint Eastwood. Carter wrote three other books, including a purported autobiography, The Education of Little Tree, before his untimely death from a fist fight in Abilene, my friends. Yes, you can die from a fist fight. That's why you need to be armed and prepared. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by USA Investigations, providing security, surveillance, witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, and much more. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. Now, picking up on our discussion yesterday, where I said there, you better pay attention to what's going on every time we have one of these shootings. By the way, this is why a lot of people wonder why these shootings come up in larger numbers at certain times, or they appear to. You know, there are a lot of people that think, and I don't think they have any evidence for it, but I certainly understand the emotional side of it, that a lot of these things are somehow encouraged or planned to try to take away guns. And I know people scoff at that, but that's because people also don't read their history around the world. And the fact of the matter is, all throughout history, from biblical times, if you read your Old Testament, all the way in the 20th century and now, totalitarians, would-be revolutionaries, countries have often used false flag or other type of provocations to lead people down the path into subjugation or war and that kind of thing. So just, you know, it's not as silly as it sounds, but I've pointed out, you better beware, because we're not talking about gun control, we're talking about people control. The real problem we've got in this is that people say things that on the surface sound really good, like this Matthew McConaughey, we've got to get the guns out of the hands of dangerous people. Well, who would disagree with that? The problem is, what's at risk is a free society, and that means literally your freedom. And I don't mean your freedom to own guns. I mean your freedom to engage in anything, because we have plenty of examples of what happens. We've seen it in this cancel culture and other things, and in what the media actually advocates for, and leftist college professors and other leftists and politicians advocate for. For example, you don't want to follow a policy directive. Well, then maybe you shouldn't be able to travel, or maybe you shouldn't be able to have a job. This is how they work. This is how coercion works. There are many different types of coercion. We don't want a full socialist state. We just want to use the coercion of the political environment and laws and regulations to control business, which, by the way, Obama was masterful at that. And that's what the Democratic Party has pivoted to. You do understand that that is fascism. I know people, what are you, Nazi? No, that is the fascist political model. Textbook. One of the problems we've got, and I tried to discuss with people, is that, for example, this issue of red flag laws. Let's just dispense with the safe storage stuff right away, because when you're saying that, you're saying, okay, you can own a firearm, but you can't use it. It's like having a car, but we don't allow you to buy gasoline. Okay? I mean, that's pretty much it, because if your firearm is not on your person, and your firearm is not readily available within seconds, then you don't enjoy the benefit of the rights to an effective self-defense. So you better just understand that those kind of things are direct attacks on your ability to bear a weapon. In other words, to be able to defend yourself and your family. When it comes to this dangerous people thing, that is a really big issue, because it sounds wonderful. Now, I'm encouraged now with Senator Cornyn's comments about what they're talking about. He said, I'm interested in keeping guns out of the hands of those who, by current law, are not supposed to have them. People with mental health problems, people who have criminal records. Again, this is about the art of the possible. Cornyn's talking about action in the Senate. Now, folks, he says, we're not talking about restricting the rights of current law-abiding gun owners or citizens. That's good. But notice the difference between we've got to get the guns out of the hands of dangerous people, which is what the left and McConaughey and all these people say, versus keep the guns out of the hands of those who by current law are not supposed to have them. Now, one thing you ought to learn here real quickly is passing laws doesn't solve problems. We have tremendous laws against felons in possessions of firearms. They get caught, they go right back to the pen. If you're on parole, you go, no trial, you just go, all these things. So passing laws clearly doesn't stop those intent on breaking the law from breaking those laws. But it's about all you can do and have a free society, and I'm glad to see Cornyn being specific on this. Now, some of the weird proposals out here, raising the age of a semi-automatic weapons purchase to 21, I think that's insanity, but whatever. Outlawing the sale, manufacture, transfer, or possession of large-capacity magazine, that's incredibly dangerous and stupid. Creating tax breaks for purchasing proper gun storage equipment. Again, that's incredibly stupid. Codifying into law Trump-era DOJ ban on bump stocks, which I think, again, is stupid. I mean, who's doing that? But Cornyn said we're not talking about banning a category of weapons across the board, a ban for certain high-capacity magazines, or changing the background check system by adding additional disqualifying items. So that makes you feel a little better by what Cornyn's trying to do. The reason I bring that up again is to point out to people who don't seem to understand it. Well, Robert, why wouldn't we want to have the guns out of the hands of, quote, dangerous people, end quote? And this gets to red flag laws. Well, red flag laws. All states have the... Yeah, but there's no due process with any of that. Steve Scalise pointing out, Congressman Scalise, that these red flag laws are unconstitutional. He said they violate your right to the Second Amendment, gives authority the government to enter your home and take your guns away without you even knowing there was some kind of proceeding where somebody said, oh, I think that guy might be a threat. So it's not just the Second Amendment. Due process is an absolute constitutional right. And the states owe that to people. So red flag laws are terrible because they allow, again, authority without any due process to simply deprive your right to defend yourself. Dangerous people. We don't want them to have it. Here's the problem, and you've got to wake up to this and understand when people are talking, your neighbors, people fall for this. It sounds good, but do you want a free society or not? Because that day you drove a little too fast and maybe didn't signal and maybe cut somebody off and you were going to work, does that make you a dangerous person? I mean, the same kind of authoritarians would remove your right to drive. Look at Britain and in Europe and some of their driving licensing schemes now, and you'll understand that I'm right about this. There's no limit. There's no end to this. The fact is, in our society of due process, you either have to decide to keep the concept of innocent until proven guilty by the state. In other words, we're all owed our liberty until proven guilty of doing something, or you have to just give all that up. You keep it or you give it up, because the only other thing is that we don't know someone is a dangerous person in many of these cases until after they've committed a crime.
Become a member of the family. Join the Pratt on Texas Listener Club free at PrattOnTexas.com. Members get a direct to Pratt email address.
It's hard to explain why my greatest customer service experience wasn't at a luxury resort or private club, but was going to the dentist in Costa Rica, Dr. Silvia Zuniga of Dental Care. There are big Costa Rica practices which, while saving you big money, work just like they do here, herding patients through as fast as possible to increase billings. That's not how Dr. Silvia Zuniga works. Silvia's practice is purposely small and personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. My entire trip cost us less than half my lowest quote at home, including hotel for a week, restaurants, airfare for both of us, and local transport, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years, and now you can visit Texas Tech's new Costa Rica campus nearby. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
If you want shallow chit-chat, dead air, and amateur analysis, you're in the wrong place. This is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, and here's your prepared host, Robert Pratt.
Let me pick up on this. Oh, welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Let me pick up on this again. We don't know that someone's a dangerous person unless they've done something that crosses the line into being illegal. This is a real problem, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why it's good that Senator Cornyn's talking about, look, we need to focus on getting guns out of the hands of dangerous people, but that's people who have been adjudicated, who have had due process. Red flag laws have no due process. You're assumed guilty. In other words, it's utterly anti-American, and you, even if you had no Second Amendment, you're violating the due process clause, which is absolutely central to being a free society. McConaughey, all these people, they love these words, common sense gun control. Oh, we just want the guns out of the hands of dangerous people. Mental health. Folks, we could throw $1 trillion more that we don't have, by the way, into the, quote, mental health program. It's not going to do anything. The very people that do this aren't going out. Where do we have evidence that these kind of people go out and seek out mental health treatment? Oh, I know there's been some people who were maybe arrested or something. And by the way, they are looking at a couple of things that matter, like unsealing juvenile records when it comes to dealing with gun ability to purchase a firearm. That may make a lot of sense. But the fact of the matter is, you cannot have a free society and have a society in which people can just be deemed dangerous. And we know the left, they want to do that to all of us. I mean, remember, Trump supporters are crazy. They're seditionists. They don't hide this kind of stuff. They are actually willing. Remember, we've had people, credentialed people, writing about how well some of these people ought to even be considered for concentration camps. Folks, you better understand what they're coming for, and it's not just your gun rights. It's a total revolutionary change in society where a ruling class, an aristocracy, if you will, gets to dole out your freedoms to you, as in many countries of the world, and that means they get to take them from you, and always without absolutes. I know there's people get so mad about the absolutes of the Second Amendment or due process or whatever, or even anything approaching an absolute. The problem is without near absolutes, there's massive abuse, and you actually don't have freedoms. Now, I ask in the beginning, talking about this issue that's going on, I said, is our Lone Star Story of the Day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. And you truckers, they're your best friend, your third-party administrator, with your DOT tests and all those things you've got to go through. Learn more at AlliedCompliance.com. I said, on school shootings or other violence, can you really help those who refuse to help themselves? You know, Texas, most people don't realize that Texas has done more than almost any state to help schools and faculty be safe, and yet it's the very districts, their administrations, and their faculty who refuse the help. Kate McGee at the Texas Tribune, I don't think, realizes what this big story is actually admitting. Texas Republicans want to arm more school employees, but few districts are opting in. Now, let's just point out here, it's not just Texas Republicans. A lot of Democrats in the House and Senate voted for a lot of these programs. Let's just be honest. But see, Kate McKee at the Tribune, they think they're pointing out that Republican policy's a failure. But all you've got to do is understand this stuff and realize that it's the schools that refuse to act. It begins nearly a decade ago. Texas lawmakers created the school marshal program, a way for educators to carry weapons inside schools. It was the state's rapid-fire legislative response to the national horror, up in Sandy Hook, Connecticut, that shooting. Legislation empowers districts to identify employees with a license to carry a firearm to volunteer as school protectors. They have to undergo an 80-hour training and then psychological exam, give them access to a gun on campus. And since the bill's passage in 2013, just 84 districts have opted in the program, a sliver of more than 1,200 school districts across the state, and of course, not over 9,000 campuses. Only 361 people have ever become licensed as a school marshal in a state with 9,000 campuses and more than 369,000 public school teachers. And you get down in the story, yet education advocates argue the fact that the voluntary school marshal program has had so few takers over the years signals that school districts and teachers are not interested in learning and leaning on educators to deter mass shooting events. Well, look, if you're not willing to help yourself, nobody else can help you. Pre-K teacher Michelle Cardenas says safety is one reason she's not interested. I don't want a gun around my students, she said. Okay, so your wishes somehow prevent someone intent on committing murder from coming in there. See, they don't want to help themselves. Let's put the blame where it lies, because we've created all kinds of programs. Start of the 2017 school year, only 21 districts employed a total of 32 school marshals. Then a few more people after the Sutherland Springs shooting, some more districts got on board. By fall of 2020, the number of districts rose to 58. Then, folks, this is terrible. American Federation of Teachers, Zef Capo, the president of that leftist radical teachers union, said incremental increases make it clear that it has very limited appeal. As a matter of fact, it continues, talking about the Marshall Program, continues to become a solid position that educators don't want to take responsibility for being police officers or take on responsibility to deal with the other, you know, days and all this stuff. I want you to really, they think they're saying something smart here. What they're admitting is that the school culture, which is a separate culture in and of itself from the real world of business and things, they don't want to defend themselves. Can you help people who won't help themselves? And it's not just that. Okay, the Guardian plan, school board, we came up with another one besides the Marshall plan that lets local school districts set the rules. Because you were always able, districts were always able, the board to authorize individual concealed carry license holders to carry. And now we created the Guardian plan after that, right? You had the Virginia Tech shooting in 07. We had Harold ISD, David Thwaite, remember, they did it and got a lot of publicity for it. We don't know if there weren't others already up in Wilbarger County. That's only 280 school districts are across the state. You got over 1,022 public school districts, traditional districts. Only 280, and they're mostly in little small places. The Fayetteville ISD superintendent, Jeff Harvey, said the district added the Guardian program instead of the more heavily regulated Marshall program because it allowed the district to designate a variety of people outside of school staff to be guardians. He requires monthly target training and psychological exam. While the district's not had to use the guardians, Harvey said a few years ago it got a tip that a suspicious individual was approaching a campus. They initiated a shelter-in-place order and deployed guardians across the campus. So they were ready. Aaron Phillips teaches first grade in Amarillo ISD. He called a more firearm-friendly part of Texas. He said it's unclear if Amarillo ISD has a school marshal or guardian program, but board policy allows teachers and staff to keep the firearm in their vehicle. Now listen, he said he thinks people's positive opinions about programs like arming teachers are based on feelings rather than reality. He's mixed up himself because he goes on to point it out. I think it makes people feel like, oh, we're safe because there's a gun on campus, without accounting for the fact that this actually happens. If we're going to be next and there's zero reaction time and absolutely worst thing happens so quickly, you have no time to go unlock your gun and stop the number of lives from being lost. Oh, yeah, but if the next room's being shot up, you've got time to get it if it's in a classroom safe. What he doesn't understand is he's pointing out that the reality of it is you need the firearm on your person because that, does he not understand that that statement applies to police as well? In other words, no amount of police, no amount of anything can stop a mass shooting because it happens so quickly. The only thing that can happen is to have people armed in so many places all the time, like they do in Israel and places, the teachers and everybody, is that there are people there when trouble strikes nearby. Maybe one teacher doesn't, but the classroom next door has somebody armed. And then they have to quote some story that says that armed teachers don't reduce gun violence. There's not enough of that to have a real study. More in a moment.
He gets so much in during the show, you can handle a short break. Pratt's back in a moment.
You gotta stop before they multiply. Gafford Pest Control.
Protect your family from bees, carpenter ants, termites, and bed bugs with effective professional service from Gafford Pest Control. Keep your family safe and clean with Gafford. Call Gafford Pest Control, 792-4292.
Gafford Pest Control.
Winter's Dozer Service knows you may need terraces built, ponds dug out, or water runoff routes worked to save that water and soil. And Winter's Dozer Service stands ready to get the job done safely and productively. Jump on those projects now with Winter's Dozer Service. Conservation, construction, and cleanup. Winter's Dozer Service has the equipment ready, so contact them or dig up more info by visiting wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
Hey now, I'm Robert Campbell. My wife and I own Campbell Containers, and we've been in business over 14 years. We sell and rent shipping containers here in Abilene and the Big Country. We sell used and new 20 and 40 foot containers. We also rent containers if you need a little extra storage space for the short term. Stop by our yard on I-20 just east of Abilene at exit 297. Each one for sale will have a little orange price tag on the door. Or check us out at campbellcontainers.com.
Texas Battery provides Texas-sized service for vehicle and equipment fleets. If you have a vehicle or equipment fleet, Texas Battery's expert knowledge and service will help keep your fleet on the road by limiting costly downtime and ensuring the right battery is in the right vehicle or machine to handle the needed loads and environmental pressures. Texas Battery Fleet Service keeps your fleet working. Texas starts with TexasBattery.com. TexasBattery.com.
He's a bullfrog with a bullhorn, and he's not afraid to use it. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. So here's more in this big story from this New Mexico State University public health professor and another prof at University of Toledo that looked at school security practices and said there's no evidence more armed teachers reduce gun violence in schools. Now, this is silly because overall the amount of gun violence in schools is statistically very low, even though we know of these shootings, and you don't have enough places to even come up with a question on that. But listen to how they, again, like this teacher in Amarillo, how they actually, they're supposedly so smart and they don't understand they're essentially undermining their own anti-gun in the classroom position. Quote, armed school personnel would have needed to be in the exact same spot in the school as the shooter to significantly reduce this level of trauma, the researchers wrote. 10 seconds is too fast to stop a school shooter with a semi-automatic firearm when the armed school guard's in another place at the school. Do they not understand that that applies universally to all their magic pie-in-the-sky solutions? It applies to the police as well, whether they're school police or regular police. But I'll darn sure tell you this, another teacher down the hall who's armed is a hell of a lot closer and able to stop something like this than having to call 911 and wait on people to get there and then let them set up a perimeter outside while they hear the shots going off and not doing a damn thing. And this isn't the first time we've ever seen that happen. Folks, they think they're indicting this, but if you read the story, what it's clear is that educators, the school culture doesn't want to defend it, doesn't want to take on the basic responsibility of a free people, and that is to defend the innocent. They want there's no other way to put this. Texas has created so many programs now that allow people to be armed to stop this kind of thing, because that's the only way you're going to stop it. I realize some of you buy into these dream state things. I'm just somehow, if we ban a gun that looks a certain way, there won't be any more school shootings. I mean, this kind of stuff is to the point of being so low, so base mentally that you have to question the intellectual capacity. And I mean seriously question the capacity of people that believe in it. Like that bishop I mentioned from the Rio Grande Valley that thinks the guns themselves, like so many that thinks the guns themselves are what lead people to go kill others. Of course, that kind of forgets the fact that since the very beginning of time, the story is Cain and Abel is murder, because murder is a rejection of God. And this is sin. And ladies and gentlemen, sin is going to be with us no matter what you do. And we had murders and mass murders. Again, I'm sick. Too many of our Christians around us don't read or haven't read in years the Bible. Read it every year. Use the BibleOnline.com, whatever it's called, the Daily Bible with the late Tom Dooley of Dallas reading scripture. It'll only take you about 20 minutes every day. And let's do it every day, year round, over and over. Mass killings, even in the days of stones or early bronze swords and spears. Violence is sin. The devil is here. It's man's nature. And folks, gun laws won't change. Now, I want to talk about, again, I want to follow up this thought. If the school people, because of their politics or their cultural view, refuse to defend themselves, how can we help them? People who refuse to seek help, in other words, refuse to do what's needed to help themselves, cannot be helped. And that's a pretty damning indictment of the school culture, but it's about right. The Austin Statesman had a big op-ed or a big editorial columnist. Gun laws won't change until the status quo becomes unbearable. Well, that's probably right. But I'm glad that he used the word status quo, because this is part of all of these problems in these ideas like keeping guns out of the hand of dangerous people or banning what they call assault rifles, which aren't. They're just rifles that have a lot of plastic and metal that look like military weapons. They shoot exactly the same as a beautiful nickel-plated, you know, and polished wood stock, old-fashioned rifle. I mean, there's just no difference. In all these things, I want you to remember, because status quo matters. Status quo means the way things are now. In the realm of debate, in the realm of ideas, the burden of proof is always on the affirmative, meaning the person wanting to change the status quo. Stop letting these people make statements to you in front of your family, at your church, and otherwise without literally standing up if you have to in the pew. And yes, it's possible. We were visiting a church once, and my wife stood up in the pew. Well, the pastor, he asked if we wanted to, you know, it was rhetorical. I think she stood up and argued with him. I have a best friend, late best friend, who did it at a big church meeting one time when we were in high school. We were combined with a lot of other churches because there was a lot of nonsense being said by whomever the pastor was. He stood up in the room and argued with him, or at least asked him hard questions. Stop. These people who suggest change have the burden of proof. Now, what do I mean by that? They have to. It's not on you to prove that your position is right. It is up to them to prove. The burden of proof always rests with those who advocate change. They need to be able to prove that red flag laws, safe storage laws, all these things are going to stop mass shootings. All these things are going to somehow stop violence. They can't prove any of it because there's no proof of it. And you think that this stuff ends with just shootings and with just red flag laws? Look, New York, the state of New York's now requiring social media companies to report, quote, hateful conduct. What is hateful conduct? The governor's bragging about it. I kind of like the piece by Hannah Blow at Breitbart, who said it's a rather controversial move given the varying interpretations of what constitutes hate speech in a world where far-left radicals consider misgendering someone an intrinsically hateful act. In other words, what I said yesterday was, you better beware because it's not your guns they're coming from, it's your freedom. If you allow this stuff to create a situation where others, without due process, can simply decide that you're a dangerous person or you're somehow suspect or whatever else, and take away your basic rights, there's no freedom left because this isn't about guns. It will extend to every part of your life, and we have plenty of evidence of that going on around the country right now. Make them prove their points and stand up to them when they say dangerous people. What do you mean dangerous? Well, how are you going to determine somebody's dangerous? All of us, the NRA and everybody's for the convicted felons and those who are not legal to own a firearm, not having one. And that's what Cornyn's talking about in federal legislation. But, you know, we just passed more and more bills. I mean, it's already illegal. What are you talking about? Well, other people. Well, people like this guy that went and shot up the school. Well, how are you going to do that? Prove it. You have the burden of proof on that side. Very quickly, I want to shift to some border news before we run out of time. A leaked Border Patrol report reviewed by Breitbart Texas reveals the agents apprehended more than 220,000 illegal aliens that came across the border in the month of May. That sets a record for May apprehensions over a record set in the Clinton administration. Rio Grande Valley sector is the busiest of the nine areas. A trucker abandoned 111 illegal aliens. Two were found dead in the tractor trailer in South Texas in La Salle County. Mexican trucker allegedly smuggled liquid meth into gas tanks into Texas. And Valley Central in the Rio Grande Valley says that two reports. A woman was arrested for smuggling minors in Saturday at the bridge in Cameron County. And in Harlingen, a human smuggler with an active warrant was taken into custody. This stuff is going on all around us. And of course, you're seeing nationally, migrant caravan traveling through Mexico could soon be the largest ever. This issue's not going away, folks. And we've got to do something about it other than this theater security that our governor has been so much a part of. Wasting your money with shows of force on the border that do nothing and that the people coming across know do nothing. In fact, they walk right up to these folks and get given a hand up. That's not border security, and Greg Abbott's not getting the job done, and of course, obviously, the feds aren't either. All right, my friends, we're out of time. Long live Texas, long live liberty, and may God make us a people worthy of more of his blessings. Let's get on our knees and pray for our world and our country. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Proud on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.